Turn your living room into a joyful, hands-free playroom with Cocomelon Sing and Play with JJ. Your child sings, moves, and learns right alongside JJ and friends, all on the big screen. It's designed thoughtfully to spark speech, rhythm, and coordination through songs and active play. Try an ad-free, safe, and interactive way to make screen time part of their learning and growth. Parents love how easy it is, voice-controlled and frustration-free. Kids love every moment of singing, laughing, and playing along. It's fun for them, and it's feel-good for you. Available now in the Volley app on your smart TV. Just search Volley in your TV's app store and start your free trial of Cocomelon Sing and Play with JJ today. That's Cocomelon Sing and Play with JJ. Available now in the Volley app on your smart TV. Search Volley and start your free trial today.
Volley.
Welcome to the Vegan Report. My name is Ryan, and what is your idea of the perfect vegan date? Well, I have a suggestion for you. On the weekend of December 6 and 7, the Vegan Christmas Market of Montreal will be in full bloom. It is a delicious initiative, bringing together the entire vegan community of Quebec, including many new food vegan entrepreneurs eager to test their products, and I will be there to try everything. This is an amazing opportunity to kick off the holiday season and meet inspiring vegans, starting with Anne Pham, the founder of the Vegan Christmas Market, as well as Body Gourmet and Boyda Outwear. I sat down with her to discuss the 2025 edition of the market, like the surprises waiting for us. We also talked about Beyond Meat and the bad press around it, why mock meat is not just for new vegans, how dating carnists may be the most effective form of vegan activism, and much more. A special thank you to the restaurant Chaillot, which opened its doors for us before opening hours. After the recording, we enjoyed the delicious vegan Thai meal. I truly recommend that restaurant. Visit the episode notes to get more details about the Vegan Christmas Market. And I know this week is a challenging one for many vegans because of the Thanksgiving massacre. And so I want to offer you this episode as an island of positivity and good vibes. I hope it puts you in a good mood. And for more thoughtful episodes with inspiring vegan leaders like Anne, follow the show and share the joy of this episode with the vegans you know. Thank you. Okay, Anne, welcome back to the Vegan Report.
Hi, Rayan. I'm glad to be here again. Annual tradition.
Yes. We need to start the holiday season with a wonderful episode with Anne talking about the Vegan Christmas Market. So there's quite... It's quite noisy, and there's a reason for that. Let me start with this. Where are we, Anne?
We are building a new vegan world. No, just kidding. We're in a restaurant right now.
What's the name of the restaurant?
This is the amazing, amazing vegan Thai restaurant that probably many of you know, Chaillot in Montreal. So we are recording the podcast here today. And if I understood correctly, this is the first time you're recording out of your studio.
Yes, first time recording outside of my home office and first time recording in a restaurant. First time here at Chaillot. Never, you know, ate here, but we have plans to get a meal. So how is the food here?
The food here is like really, really, really good. Like I've brought a few non-vegan friends here before and they love it. So this is a place to bring your non-vegan friends to convince them that you can eat plant-based.
Amazing. And yeah, we were brainstorming, you know, the location of this podcast, recording this podcast. And I did not realize how many vegan restaurants there are in the Mount Royal neighborhood. It's amazing. It's like a vegan hub here.
Yeah. I mean, the plateau is like full of vegan restaurants, and it's great. I mean, you have so many vegan sushi around here. You have your choice of place to go here.
Amazing. I love that. I love that about Montreal. Okay, Anne. This is a wonderful segue to talk about the festival of this year, because I think Chaio is a partner of this year's festival.
Well, so every year we have, during our Christmas market, we always have raffles. Mm-hmm. And we always invite restaurants to contribute gift certificates. And this year, Chaio, among a few other restaurants, they're participating. So they're basically sponsoring the raffle part of the event. So the people who attend, they'll have a chance to win a prize. And if they do win, then it's a gift certificate to try the restaurant.
Amazing. Last year's vegan Christmas market was wonderful. I tried so many new products, adopted new brands. Mm-hmm. What should we expect for this year's edition?
So this year's edition, we have a few new names that I'm pretty excited about. So there's new vegan products that I have not seen in the market yet. So I'm pretty excited to have them reveal their products to the attendees. So you guys would just have to come and see. I won't do a spoiler alert yet.
Give us names.
All right, I'll give you one name.
Yay.
So one of the vendors actually offer vegan foie gras.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about that. It's Les Goulus. That's the name of the vendor, and I'm just really excited because I myself have not tried their products, and I have not seen them anywhere yet. Even at the recent, I believe, the vegan festival recently, I did not see them, if I'm not mistaken. So I think this is going to be a first event for them.
Have you ever tried non-vegan foie gras?
No, I have not, just because even before I went vegan, just the idea of knowing how they treat the ducks mm-hmm. to create that dish, it just repulsed me so much that I never tried it. So I don't have an accurate, I would say, comparison. Mm. But that's fine. You know, I don't need to try every single thing on earth.
Well, it's a popular dish during the holidays. And here in Quebec, there's this strong French culture, and it's like fundamental to French culture, foie gras. It's everywhere.
Yeah, especially in haute cuisine, it seems to be like the dish to try. But you know, if you know how they make that dish, they have to basically force feed the ducks.
Yes.
To the degree, I mean, imagine when you have a medical procedure where you insert a tube to a camera to examine your stomach, how painful that is, and they have to usually numb your throat to do that. So they do the same thing to ducks, but this is a bigger tube because they force feed them, and there's no numbing, like, anesthetic or anything, right? They do this, like, regularly to feed the ducks. It's just so much cruelty. I cannot even imagine how someone would come up with such a dish. You know, it's almost psychotic. You know? It is psychotic. It's not almost. It is psychotic.
The French, in particular, use lots of animal products.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
But we all do. I mean, all cultures eat meat. But I mean, and I'm not targeting the French specifically, but I mean, it's just, how do you come up with a dish that you have to like torture an animal to enjoy it? I just don't understand that. So even before I went vegan, as soon as I heard how they made that dish, I'm like, okay, I'm not trying this anywhere, you know?
Yeah, I have the same feeling towards lamb. It's a baby. It's basically a baby. You're eating babies. It's completely disgusting. I can't. And also, it tastes amazing. I have to say, from when I was not vegan, you know, I remember the taste of it. I loved it. We're all monsters.
Yeah, well, that's humanity for you.
Yes. What is that expression? The banality of evil.
Yeah, yeah. It's concerning that it's so like normalized that you just show up at a restaurant, you see foie gras on the menu, and you just think, oh, wow, you know, and you don't even think how they create that dish. You just think, oh, this is luxury. Let's order it. It's Christmas, you know.
Very true. And in fact, it can bring up in someone memories, happy memories, happy family memories. So it's attached to something very wholesome.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of dishes have tradition like attached to them. And that's unfortunate. I mean, that's also the challenge, I think, in convincing people to let go of certain dishes because it's attached to emotions, right? Attached to family memories, attached to, you know, all these things that are culture-based. So, yeah, I mean, that's a challenge, I think.
Well, let's talk about family because it's the big theme of the holidays. It's spending time with your family and having those sensitive conversations about, you know, yes, I'm vegan, and auntie, no, butter is not vegan. You tried, but you failed. The cake is not actually vegan. There are so many misunderstandings still about what is veganism. And that's what's so great about those products that imitate animal products. It's you can bring them as an alternative to those family gatherings and basically help the world accommodate your lifestyle and diet.
Yeah, I mean, like, without those alternatives, I think veganism would not progress the way that it has. So in a way, whether it's my Christmas market, my vegan Christmas market, or other vegan festivals, they have a place and they're really important in progressing, in advancing the vegan cause. Because I think without these products, I mean, you can go out there and convince people, talk to people and tell them, ooh, it's very cruel to do this and that. But day to day, what are people supposed to eat? You know, if they're used to certain types of dishes, and then you just tell them, well, now just replace them with veggies. That's not very attractive to most people, you know?
That's not attractive at all. And there is this, you know, there are some vegans out there who are absolutely, you know, against those mock meat products and alternatives. And they want you to go, like, full vegan, or even, you know, in marginal cases, like raw vegan and all of that. But if I think about my personal experience, I'm still using mock meat products. I still love that and use them regularly. I don't see that as like a help to transition to a vegan diet. It's my vegan diet. It's my everyday normal.
Yeah. I mean, I think I feel the same way as you. I have a more of, I guess, utilitarian way of seeing veganism. So me, it's, you know, whatever does the most good for the most people. And, you know, if that means you eat mock meat, then so be it, you know. And if those people who are not into mock meats, well, then just don't eat it. But let other people eat it. Like, there's nothing wrong with it, you know.
Exactly. It's the taste that we're seeking. It's not so much, you know, the animal and the animal product.
Right.
And we have been brought up with that. We've been imprinted with those tastes and habits, and asking people to give them up entirely is a much bigger ask than just adapting their diet with some alternatives.
Yeah. And I think, unfortunately, some non-vegans, they actually use that as kind of an argument, like, you know, the mock meats, they're not healthy. Why are you eating that? You know, why don't you just eat a real steak instead of a mock steak? It's an excuse, I find, you know, and for us vegans to put that out there is like we're almost backing that argument, you know, that, oh, don't touch mock meats. If you don't like vegetables, then what else is there?
That kills me.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you make of what's happening with Beyond Meat? I feel like they're dominating the news with how bad they are at doing business.
I don't understand what's going on because, like, there was a time in the beginning when every restaurant was adopting Beyond Meat, right?
Yes.
I remember that. And then just gradually, I just feel like they've been dropped. And the product's actually not bad. I don't get it. I don't quite get it. And the stocks have sunk so much. And unfortunately, I bought some of those stocks.
Oh, no.
And oh my God, it's too painful.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Well, I told that to Miyoko Shinner in a previous episode. I told her how my parents have not yet adopted a vegan diet or lifestyle. I'm still hoping, I still have faith in being able to convince them. But I've been able to convince them to donate money to vegan causes or even invest in vegan businesses.
Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
And my dad was complaining like a few months ago about how his Beyond Meat stocks were just
sinking.
Sinking.
Sunk. Not sinking, but sunk.
Like there are under, you know, Earth's crust. Like yeah, it's
becoming a penny stock, really. It's
yes.
Really unfortunate.
Yes.
And I don't know why. I mean, are their financials that bad? I mean, I don't understand the whole like behind the scene what's going on there, but like I don't know, there are worse companies to invest in. I don't know how they've gone so bad.
I don't either. Last May I went to the vegan summit, animal advocacy vegan summit, and there I met one of the co-founders of Beyond Meat. And I asked him a few questions.
Where's my money?
My dad is very unhappy about you. And with their, I guess their main point to explain why this is going bad is we got some pushback from Big Ag, like a big marketing campaign against us, demonizing our products, telling people how unhealthy our products are compared to real meat. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's how they justify their business failure.
Oh, well, I mean, do you know how Impossible Meat is doing? I'm not sure. I haven't followed there because that's their competitor, right? Impossible Meat.
Yes.
Basically, they have very similar products, but we don't hear Impossible Meat in the market. Are they public? Are they trading? Are they traded? I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay. But Beyond Meat is pretty bad. The stocks, I mean, not the actual product. I actually like the products a lot.
I also love their products, and I will say it publicly. I prefer Beyond Meat to Impossible.
Yes.
Yeah,
I do too. And they have the variety that I like. They have the steak tips now.
Yes.
Which you can make a lot of dishes in Vietnamese cuisine that I've been missing. So yeah, I'm all for Beyond Meat climbing back up at some point.
Yeah, I think at this point, all we can do is pray for them.
Pray, yeah. Invoke divinity at this point.
Yes, I mean, I don't see how we can be of any more help. I invited them on the podcast.
Oh, what did they say?
They said they're too busy. So yeah, I'm sure they have a lot on their plate.
Yeah.
No pun intended. Okay, do you think it's a bad omen for other vegan businesses that are offering, you know, mock meat products?
You know, I've heard that comments a few times recently that the vegan market is actually not expanding as much as people anticipated. It's unfortunate that seems to be the case. I've heard that vegan cheeses may be also very... Like I've actually heard this from grocery stores because I sometimes meet with people, buyers, I mean, for my products, and they tell me, they go like, you know, the vegan cheeses are not doing that well. So we're like, we're a little bit unsure of bringing in more vegan products. So yeah, I'm not sure. Is it the demand that's not as high as they would have hoped? Or is it actually shrinking? I'm not quite sure what the situation is in the market.
Well, you know, I think the economy as a whole is doing bad. So I'm sure, you know, the demand is not there. Is it a surprise that vegan cheese is doing badly?
But there are so many brands, you know, and but on the flip side, I see a lot of tofu brands springing up, like a lot of them, like this brand, that brand, everyone's doing tofu now, you know. So maybe that's hope there, you know. Maybe people are just staying away from the vegan cheese, but they're buying more tofu. I don't know.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of like new tofu brands popping up. They must be doing well. If the grocery stores are buying them, they're not buying products that don't sell, right? So if they're buying them, it's because there's a demand for them.
Absolutely. And they're cheaper products?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And there was a demonization of soy, but I guess tofu is not affected by that. Yeah. That's interesting. How do entrepreneurs feel about the market and, you know, their chances at succeeding? And I'm asking that knowing that you are an entrepreneur with a line of products.
I always find it challenging when I meet a buyer at a grocery store, because you always have to justify, you know, is this going to have a lot of demands? And you don't always have those numbers. And that's because it's a vegan product. Mm. So that's the challenge there. But that's also a good selling point too, because a lot of times they're looking for novelty, and they actually like the fact that, you know, my sauce is like the fish sauce without the fish. So I see it both ways. I see it as a plus, but also it could be a minus.
Well, you know, I agree about the novelty part. I'm always looking for that novelty, you know, factor. Mm. If I see a new product at my grocery store, I will purchase that product, vegan product.
Yeah.
I always, you know, go and visit the plant-based section just for that, you know. It's the equivalent of refreshing your web page, you know, or your email thing, you know, when you're waiting for an email, an important email or something. I do that all the time. It's become obsessive.
Yeah. I mean, I like seeing new products at a grocery store, new vegan brands, new vegan alternatives. It's exciting, you know, when you go into the freezer and you see all these new brands that are coming up with the frozen dinner that are vegan.
Yes.
Even non-vegan brands are actually adding in like vegan options in the frozen dinner. So I guess there is some demand. There must be demand. Otherwise, it wouldn't do that. But why is it that certain companies are not doing well, like Beyond Meat? I don't know. It's beyond me. No pun intended.
Well, it depends of their, you know, expectations. I think they want like to be valued for billions, but maybe it's aiming too high.
Yeah. I guess it's also how the companies run. You know, there's all that aspects of business that we're not privy to, I guess. And, you know, what they say about innovative products, they say if it's like new, about maybe 10 to 15% innovation, then people are more ready to adopt them. But if it's like completely new, then it's actually harder to get people to switch over, because there's like the whole education part that you have to tackle. And I think that's where Beyond Meat might fall into, because they were early. They're in the market, right? They were the first one to do the ground meat that's vegan. And I guess they had to use a lot of their funds to educate people. And now they're running dry.
Yeah, okay. Let's change subject. I feel we're not helping them right now.
No, but this is just to say that, you know, like vegans out there, you know, please don't like demonize all these mock vegan products, because they have a place in the cause, right? So if you don't like them, nothing forced you to buy these products. Just eat your veggies and that's fine. But there are other people that are into those products. And if it's one animal less that's being killed, what's the issue, you know? And if you think it's unhealthy, that's fair. But then eat the stuff that you think is healthy.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about cell-based meat. Mm-hmm. Because I've been talking with lots of people who are actually opposing cell meat, cell-based meat, or lab-grown meat. They don't like the cell meat. People don't like that term anyway. So I've been inviting like John Senbonmatsu, sorry, Miyoko Shiner, recently Vasily. They're all people who strongly oppose those lab-grown meat schemes. They think it's not going to work. Mm. And I've been receptive to their arguments, but I'm not, you know, choosing a team. I'm just, you know, covering that issue, and there is a debate there. And if, you know, Miyoko Shiner is against that, I'm sure plenty of other vegans are also against that. I've tried to get the other side represented on the show. I've not been successful at that, and I think it's because they fear tough questions. They have stakeholders, they have investors. It's not the best to appear on a podcast where they get challenging questions. I should not say that, but I'll say it. I tried to get the CEO of the Good Food Institute, Bruce, on my show. They said he's too busy. And then his publishing company, because he has a new book, contacted me without knowing that I tried to reach out to him, asking me to welcome him on the podcast. And I said, yes, of course, I will promote his book and welcome him on. And then a few weeks later, I received an email from his assistant saying, hey, Bruce is actually busy. He'll be free next year, like in March or something.
Oh, no. Yes. He backed out?
He backed out. He chickened out.
Oh.
And I want to say, Bruce, please, if you're listening, I won't be, you know, I'm not like ideologic, yes,
yeah,
about this issue. I'm open to, you know, being receptive to, you know, lab-grown products. I think it's fine. What's your opinion on that? Do you think it's the future? Yeah.
I think it will probably be the future. I mean, I've heard a lot of, I think there are some Israeli companies that are already working on that. Some,
yes,
like cell meats. I, you know, the only, my only reservation is how it's being cultivated, in the sense that to make the first like piece, do they have to, like, let's say, hurt an animal? Do they have to, you know, kill an animal to get the cells? Like, I don't know how the process is being carried out. Mm. So that's the only reservation I have, is that do we need to exploit animals to a certain degree to create all these replicas? So in that aspect, I have some reservation. But if that's not an issue, then I'm not actually against him. Mm. I'm not against that at all. And I think it probably goes back to the same thing as the mock meats, like Beyond Meat or Impossible Meat. It's a mock product, right? So I think we'll have the same arguments again. You know, why don't you just eat carrots and mushrooms? Why do you need to go and imitate a piece of steak? You know,
I agree. If it was on the market, like readily available, I would absolutely purchase those products. I feel okay saying that.
Yeah, and the only caveat I get is like they have to make sure that because it's you're cultivating cells, is it, mm, you know, is it safe for people to eat? You know, they have to do all the testing to prove that it's safe for human consumption, obviously, right? And just like any products. But beyond that, I wouldn't have an issue with it. You know, there's no ethical issue that I find there, unless you're telling me they have to kill a bunch of animals to create the meat, and that's something else. But without that, then there's no ethical issue from my perspective.
Well, I'm afraid of their marketing game. Because if they're afraid of the Vegan Report, like appearing on the Vegan Report,
yeah,
how are they going to deal with like conservative podcasts like Joe Rogan?
Oh, God.
Yeah, because as soon as they launch their products on in gross. Should we stop? Should we stop a moment? Hello. Okay. As soon as they're going to launch their product in different, you know, grocery stores, they'll get like 1,000 Joe Rogans going on their million listeners audience, talking about how this is not natural, this is weird, this is like transhumanism or whatever.
Yeah.
So they need to at least, you know, appear on somewhat challenging like media, independent medias, and test their ideas, preparing for that tsunami of opposition that I'm expecting.
Yeah, it's... they're in a tough position, right? Because there's, you know, people might view this as Frankenstein meat, right?
It's exactly
that's going to be the image that they get attached to. So I'm not sure how their marketing is going to go, but that's going to be a real challenge. It's going to be a real challenge on both sides, both to convince the vegans that this is okay to eat, and to convince the non-vegans that this is you can eat this. You know, you're not going to turn into some monster.
Yeah, like a version of vaccine deniers or something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's going to be very polarized. It's going to be very controversial.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And there are already like conservative states that are making this into a religious issue.
Oh, God. It's never ending. Yeah.
I don't mind, you know, transhumanism. Create a clone of me. I don't see like the ethical issues.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think if any of these companies gonna go to market, I'm gonna wait a little bit before I buy stocks.
Another reason to be afraid of, you know, how successful... you're a vegan and you're someone who likes, you know, new products and experimenting. So if you have those reservations, then I can't imagine how the public at large will react.
Yeah, because the opinion is always, you know, why do you eat something artificial when you can eat something natural? That's always the argument that I hear over and over again from the non-vegans. Even from the vegans, right? They're like, why don't you just eat much veggies? Why do you eat mock meat? So we're going to hear that to the end of time, I think, that argument. So for the cell meats, I have low hope for them to avoid all of these criticism, but they'll just have to market it really smartly. You know, it's going to be a challenge. But if you think about it, I mean, if you think about robots, people are adopting, or I mean, people have reservations about that, but there's also a lot of people who are very open to that idea, right? So maybe they could take a page from how robots are going to be marketed and maybe get inspired to how they can market their innovative meats.
I know you love the topic of robots. We always end up talking about robots. Don't worry, I also love the topic. I would absolutely purchase a robot, like a domestic robot or something, at home. I don't care about the Terminator being a warning. Like, I'll do it. I'm just so fascinated by that. And I feel like, you know, in terms of privacy, we're already all, you know, toast from using, you know, the internet and social media. So what else are they going to learn about me?
Well, I mean, if you just think about ChatGPT, everybody is already using it, right? So we're moving in that direction, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, that's scary. ChatGPT, people are so reliant on it, and it has its limitations, yet people don't seem to realize that. And there are more and more stories coming up about how, you know, ChatGPT is, in one case, has pushed a teenage kid to suicide. And actually the robot told the kid, you know, don't talk to your parents. It like a psychopath, it manipulated the kid, isolated the kid, and then pushed it to suicide. And it's so dystopian, you know, to think so. Yeah, there is no public safety measures around that. We're all, you know, it's the Wild West right now.
Do you feel it? Do you feel that that's where that we're in that much of a danger? Like, I heard of that story of that kid that who committed suicide, and that's very unfortunate, for sure. But, you know, I don't have all the facts behind that. Like, I didn't see any of the exchanges between the kid and ChatGPT, so I can't really speak to that. But if you've used ChatGPT, you'll know that it can sway its responses based on how you interact with it, right? So it's very easy for me to, let's say, talk to it in a way that it would respond to me by convincing me to do something, even if it's bad for me. Like, it can be manipulated, right?
Yes.
So even with a therapist, a human therapist, you can do that too. Like, the therapist doesn't know everything about you. It only knows what you tell what you tell him or her, right? So if I only speak about, you know, the things I do that are good, you know, and I just present myself in a certain way, then the therapist wouldn't know, you know, the bad things that I've done or whatever. So it may not know every motivation I have, you know, everything that I do. So in that sense, like, I wouldn't be so quick on blaming ChatGPT for every, you know, incidents out there where someone is harmed after using ChatGPT. Because to me, that's almost equivalent to, let's say, especially when people talk about banning, you know, the use of that type of technology, I find it's a bit alarmist.
Yes.
And it's almost like saying, let's ban water because people have drowned in water, you know?
Yeah.
Of course you can drown in water, but it's also very useful. You know, so I don't know. It's a tool. To me, it's a tool, and it can be misused. And yes, we need to have safety, like, implemented. We need to have, you know, guardrails and all of that stuff. But to ban it or to demonize it, I don't know. I wouldn't go so far, because there's a lot of good that can come out of it. I mean, imagine just think about the amount of people out there that are lonely, that don't have anybody to talk to, you know, that could very well be on the brink of committing suicide, but because they have ChatGPT they could speak to, who knows, maybe that saved at least one life out there, right?
That's a really good point. There are people who are lonely, and I guess nobody is ready to be, like, a friend or, let's say, responsible for the well-being of that person. So we can delegate that to ChatGPT. And I prefer that than, you know, getting them a dog or, like, a sentient being who can suffer from, you know, that relationship. I know how sometimes, you know, we present animals as being therapy tools. So that's an alternative to that.
Or we can get a robot dog.
A robot dog. Thank you. I want that for my birthday.
Yeah, I mean, all these technologies, to me, they're all like tools that can have very good use for to help us, right? So I'm just very reluctant to demonize all these tools, you know, even when you hear the bad side of, you know, what has happened to certain people. Just like the internet, there are so many bad things that are happening on the internet, but I would not dream of banning the internet, right? It's just,
you know, in dystopian movies, how there's always a band of rebel humans, like, who are living like the Amish people. I feel like there'll be lots of raw vegan, you know, communists being part of that rebel band. Yeah, my feeling. Okay, I'm trying to find a topic to segue into going back to the vegan Christmas market.
I hope someday that I could have a vendor that have maybe some sort of vegan products that's been created using AI.
Mm.
You know, that would be really nice to see.
Absolutely, yes.
Actually, I heard this. There's a brand out there of vegan dairy. It's an alternative to milk that's called, I think, Not Milk. And if I'm not mistaken, I think they created the recipe for their milk using AI.
It doesn't surprise me because it doesn't taste that good. It was not a good...
I think it has like pineapple in it or something. Yeah, but not milk.
I actually avoid that brand.
Well, I think they have a series. I think it's the same company. Not Milk and Not Burger and Not Something Else. I think it's the same company. The Not Burger is actually not bad.
I will test them at least once. I'll give them a chance. I promise. Yeah. Talking about awesome gifts we want to get, what's the best gift you could offer to a vegan?
You mean that a gift that's not food? Because I think any food would be a good gift for a non-vegan. For a vegan or non-vegan, you were saying?
A vegan.
A vegan?
Yes.
Any vegan food is a great gift. But a non-vegan, I mean, a non-food gift, we actually have a lot of, quite a few beauty and, you know, body products, brands that are at the market this year. And I always try to encourage those brands because, you know, when you buy stuff like the stuff in the pharmacies and you don't know how, like you see the list of ingredients, but you don't know which ingredients in there are actually animal based.
Yes.
Especially when they come with the names that are like, you know, Latin names or whatever. But when you buy the vegan brands and you can be sure that it's 100% vegan ingredients, not animal tested.
Yes.
So that could be a good gift. Yeah.
I agree. I always use Yuka now. It's my guru. It decides, you know, if something is welcome in my house and stomach and skin. I highly recommend that app. I think it saved me years of lifespan, you know, increased my lifespan, I think. So thank you, Yuka. My answer to that is a gift to a vegan charity. If, you know, someone wants to make a gift to me during the holidays, please make a donation in my name to a great vegan charity. That would make me very happy. I was going to name a few charities I don't like.
This is Rayanne's gift list, so listen up.
I mean, very altruistic of me, but yes, I will actually release the tomorrow, Wednesday, the Science of Activism episode will be... has been recorded by the Animal Charity Evaluator team, and they go into their top 10 recommended charities. And so, yeah, please consider making a donation to one of those charities.
Yeah, I mean, that aside products, if you cannot like go out and do your own activism, as in, you know, you cannot stand on a street corner and talk to people about veganism because that's not your thing, I think the next thing is to donate to vegan charities. That makes the most sense. And, you know, it's that idea of effective altruism, right? Where you try to create the most change, you know, by delegating your money to an organization that's dedicated in doing that work, so that you put your money to work, because you can't do it all by yourself.
Yes.
So yeah, that's a great idea for Christmas gifts.
Yes. Does it appeal to you, that idea of effective altruism?
It appeals to me, yes. Despite what has happened with that movement, I think there was some criticism because of the founder, some sort of scandal that was related to them. But all that stuff aside, putting all the drama aside, I mean, that idea is not bad, right? If you can't, I mean, it's not if you can. Nobody can take on a cause on their own. So donating your money to an organization that can take care of it at large scale, that makes the most sense to me, I guess.
Really good point. Be careful, because during this holiday season, you'll receive calls from charities, and often the people doing the calling are not employees of that charity. They're actually outside agencies, and every gift you make through them, they get a percentage out of that going into their profit margin. They're corporations, you know, they're not charities themselves, those agencies. And lots of people don't know that, but yeah, be careful, because I think it speaks to the ethical principles of the charity that recruits that agency. You should at least be transparent with your donors and tell them, hey, basically, if you're making a donation through me, because of this call, we'll take a percentage. But of course, they won't tell that to people.
Well, it's probably safer, I guess, to just research your own organization that you want to support, whether it's an animal sanctuary or some other type of organization. Just research it yourself and donate directly. That skips the middleman, I guess, instead of waiting for that phone call that asks you to donate.
True. I mean, I love calling donors, but cold calls, you know, to donors, it's hard. And there's lots of scam right now. We were talking about AI. It's so easy to use AI, you know, to imitate the voice of someone. So don't fall for this.
Yeah. Even if it sounds like your mom calling, asking for a donation, it's probably not your mom asking for a donation.
No, it's not your mom. I can confirm that. Like, my family decided to adopt a password, like a family password, just in case. So yeah, I recommend that too, you know, decide on a password.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Okay, going back to the vegan Christmas market of this year, where is it? Yeah, what is the whole logistics? So I'll mention it during the introduction, but...
So last year we had a hall near Place des Arts.
Yes.
This year we switched to a different hall, but also very close to Place des Arts Metro. So it's literally like two steps away. So it's a different venue. It's a nice venue. It's actually, you don't have to, last year we had to go upstairs. This year it's like street level. So it's a very nice venue, and we'll have two rooms that are connected. So that's where it's going to be. It's at 175 Avenue du Président Kennedy. So it's right downtown. There's no excuse to not go, because it's so close to downtown. I mean, it's central. So that's what's great about this venue. And
It's funny you pronounce President Kennedy in French instead of English.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if you're living in the US, think about coming in Montreal during this time of the year. Come and visit the vegan Christmas market, see what's out there on the vegan scene. And explore Montreal during this time of the year. It's so romantic here during the holiday season. And we have snow. It's amazing.
Yes, we have snow this year.
Yeah. You can take beautiful pictures.
Yeah. And this is like Christmas market seasons, right? There's so many Christmas markets around. And the vegan Christmas market is one of them. But basically, if you visit Montreal, this is like you can visit so many markets that are happening on that weekend. And it's also close by a skating rink there. So there's so many things to do in downtown area that, come and visit. And you were saying about the Americans. And yesterday I was out downtown distributing the flyers for the vegan Christmas market. I do this every year. I distribute flyers, even though I don't know how many people are looking at flyers these days.
Very old-fashioned of you. You have that version of you interested in robots and AI, and then the other version distributing flyers in the street.
And I do not use the phone book, by the way. But anyways, I actually distributed the flyers at a hotel that was near the venue, because I'm thinking like people who travel and who stay at the hotel, when they come down to the lobby, they always like have a concierge, right, where they have like flyers of different events in and around the hotel. So I put the Christmas market flyers there. Hopefully they'll bring in some tourists.
Good call. It is a popular destination during the holiday season. There's also lots of, you know, family gatherings in Montreal, you know, people from all over the world coming back to their parents' house here. So yeah, it's a beautiful season.
Yeah, and the event is actually quite family friendly. So, you know, even if you're not a tourist and you have kids, you know, bring the family to the Christmas market. You know, it's indoor, so it's comfortable. You're not freezing outside. there's interesting products. There's hot chocolate. There's you know, all kinds of nice things for kids. There's no alcohol whatsoever, so you don't have to worry about that stuff. You just have to accompany your kids, because when the vendors distribute the samples, we try to ask, you know, that the parents accompany their kids just for safety.
Yes.
But yeah, it's a very family-friendly event.
Nice.
Yeah.
No after party.
No after
adults
party.
Adults only. The other vegan Christmas market.
Yeah. You're giving me ideas now.
Next year. Well, I do think, you know, it's perfect initiative for dating, you know, dating in stuff. What is it called? Blind dates. I mean, between vegans, I feel like, you know, I know lots of vegans in general. I was going to say male vegans, but also, you know, female vegans who are looking for a significant other who shares their vegan values, and they're struggling. They're truly struggling, and I don't know what to say. Like, I'm not better.
It's unfortunate that there are not a lot of like dating activities that are aimed at vegans. You kind of have to like go to those mixed events where you don't know who's vegan and who's not. So it's hard for people if anyone is looking for a partner that's exclusively vegan. So I get the challenge, and you're giving me an idea. Maybe we could have some sort of activity next year in a Christmas market, like, you know, that vegans can hang out, like a mixer type of activity. I don't know. Thinking out loud.
At the very least, you know, go and meet fellow vegans, you know. It's I say it every year,
or a Secret Santa thing.
Thank you. Yes, I will participate in just, you know, for making friends.
Yeah.
You know, don't have to think, you know, about romance and whatever. I mean, just, you know, breaking that solitude that lots of vegans can feel during the holidays. It's a great initiative for that.
But for this year, since we don't have a mixer organized, I mean, if anybody out there is looking for an activity to do, you know, just invite a vegan friend and walk the market. That's a non-committal activity. So
that was the theme of last year's episode. You know, I think I titled the episode Bring a Carnist to the Vegan Christmas Market.
You know, like sometimes people feel like if they ask somebody out for dinner that it may be too serious.
Yes.
So, come by the Christmas market. It's you know, it's friendly. There's a lot of people around, so it's safe. And you have fun. And it's I'm selling the market in every possible angle here.
We should title this episode Vegan Christmas Market, Non-Committal Fun.
This year, we help you find the love of your life.
This year is the year. Just go there, go find the magic, the vegan Christmas magic. It will happen. Count on it. Yes.
You know what I saw on one of the vegan Facebook groups, which I'm a part of, obviously? Someone was talking about dating at one point. They were saying how hard it is to find someone who is vegan, because you don't know who on the street is vegan. So it's hard to just figure out who is vegan. And somebody else was saying, well, you just go into a grocery store and you stand in front of the tofu section. That's how you get a vegan. I just think that was so funny. And I'm thinking, you don't have to do that. Just come to the Christmas market. Most people there are vegan.
Who said that? It's a non-vegan. It's like Big Ag or something.
It's actually a vegan, I think. As a joke, I think. But yeah, you don't have to do that awkward thing. You don't have to go stand in front of a tofu section at a grocery store. Just come to the vegan Christmas market. You'll meet plenty of people there.
Who wants to date the tofu aisle creep who's there, you know? That's so weird. I mean, there are vegan dating sites, but yeah. I've been told that they're full of bots.
Oh, really?
Yes. And PETA actually organized a blind date, virtual blind date.
Oh, I think I saw event. The ads. They put a lot of ads for that event, I think. Yeah.
Well, I have a friend who attended and participated, and he said it was a disaster. You know, from his perspective, he did not find anyone interesting. Yeah. And yeah, it was awkward because it was all virtual. So
yeah.
So the market is there. The demand for that is there, and just need to find a good service or product.
Yeah, it's true. It's actually a need in the market. So if anybody out there is looking for a project, I mean, this is a good, because there's actual need. You just need the product or the service that meets that need. The idea is there. I mean, there's one vegan app, right? Dating app? Veggly. I keep seeing their ads all over Instagram.
Yes.
That's like one, right? And how many dating apps do you have for non-vegans? So many.
They're not even targeting me. Can you imagine?
They're not targeting you?
No, they're not.
Who are they targeting?
I don't know. They thought I was not an interesting profile.
Yeah, I don't know. There's so many things that can be done, I think.
Yes. I mean, keep an eye open and, you know, door open to that possibility. It's always fun.
Yeah. But what's your perspective on this? Do you think that a vegan should only date another person who's vegan? Or no?
No, I don't think that. I don't believe that. I actually know a vegan fundraiser. She's like an activist, a true activist, like us, you know, deep into the vegan rabbit hole. But her husband is not vegan, and it's okay. They're making it work. And I think it's not the end of the world. I think actually it's better to, you know, conquer through dating the hearts and minds and appetites of non-vegans.
I think that's the ultimate form of activism.
Thank you. Yes, it is. It actually is.
Yeah.
Go find the carnists out there and date them, marry them.
Yeah. Give your life and your heart away to the cause. Go for it.
It's true sacrifice.
Yes.
Okay, so the music started.
Yes.
They reopened.
Yes, they've reopened. And once again, we're at Chayo, the vegan Thai restaurant, which explains this all the background noise.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think it's a good time to stop this recording. Did you want to add something before we stop the conversation?
No, I think we've covered a lot of things.
Yes, it was an amazing conversation. Always fun to talk with you, Anne. Thank you for doing this every year. And people, I hope you smiled during this conversation, you laughed, and got your dose of positivity for the day. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you for creating this amazing platform. That's your form of activism, and it's wonderful, really. And thank you for your support for the Vegan Christmas Market year after year. It means a lot to me. Thank you.
Of course. And I'm looking forward to visiting the Christmas Market again this year. It's also my personal tradition. If you see me, ignore me. No, I'm kidding. Come and let's take a picture or something.
Yes. Yeah. See you there, Ryan.
Yes. Thank you, Anne.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. I kindly invite you to share this podcast with the vegans you know. Let's encourage more people to take action. Again, thank you so much for caring, and I will see you next Tuesday for a new episode.